Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back to lesson number two, which is chapter number two, and it's on the books of the Bible. So our objectives for this particular lesson are, upon completion of this lesson, this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse for memory. You'll be able to identify the number of books in the Old Testament, identify the number of books in the New Testament, explain why it's important to have a systematic plan for reading the Bible. You're going to be able to list four suggestions for successful Bible reading. Our key verse is found in Psalms 119, 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, and give me understanding according to thy word. So, as an introduction, in the previous chapter, you learned about the Bible that is the written word of God. You learned it is divided into two major sections called Old Testament and New Testament. And you learned the four basic divisions of the Old Testament books, which were the law, history, poetry, and prophecy. And you also learned the four divisions of the New Testament books, which were the Gospels, history, letters, and prophecy. Now, the following chart in your book summarizes what you've learned about the Bible so far. So, first off, you have the Bible. It's God's written word. It's a total of 66 books. The Old Testament divisions are law, history, poetry, and prophecy. And the New Testament divisions are the Gospels, history, letters, and prophecy. So, this lesson contains a summary of each of the 66 books of the Bible, which make up the major divisions of the Old and New Testament, and it provides an introduction to the content of both testaments. So, four suggestions for successful Bible reading are given, and you're going to choose a systematic plan to start reading God's Word. So, first off, with the Old Testament, the 39 books, we have the books of the law, which starts with Genesis. Genesis records the beginning of the universe, man, the Sabbath, marriage, sin, sacrifice, nations, and government, and the key men of God like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Exodus details how Israel became a nation with Moses as leader. Israel is delivered from bondage in Egypt and travels to Mount Sinai, where the law of God is given. Leviticus, this book was a manual of worship for Israel. It provides instruction to the religious leaders and explains how a sinful people can approach a righteous God. It relates to the coming of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then we have Numbers. It records Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which was a result of their disobedience to God. The title of the book is from two numberings, population censuses during the long journey. Deuteronomy records the final days of Moses' life and reviews the laws given in Exodus and Leviticus. Then we have the books of history. So we have Joshua, which details how Joshua, who was a successor of Moses, led the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, and it records the military campaigns and divisions of the land among the people. And then we have Judges, which Israel turned away from God after Joshua's death, and this book records the sad story of their repeated sins and the judges God raised up to deliver them from the enemy forces. The story of Ruth is a woman of the Gentile nation of Moab who chose to serve the God of Israel. She became the great-grandmother of David. 1 Samuel, this book centers on three persons, Samuel, who was the last of the judges of Israel, Saul, the first king of Israel, and David, who succeeded Saul as king. And then 2 Samuel is the glorious 40-year reign of King David as recorded in this book. In 1 Kings, King Solomon's reign and the kings of the divided kingdom through the reigns of Ahab in the north and Jehoshaphat in the south are the subject of this book. In 2 Kings, the final decline of Israel and Judah is recalled in this book, and God's people fell into deep sin. In 1 Chronicles, we read of the reign of David and the preparation for building the temple are recorded here, and the time of this book is the same as 2 Samuel. Then in 2 Chronicles, this book continues Israel's history through Solomon's reign and focuses on the southern kingdom, and it closes with a decree of Cyrus which permitted the return of the people from Babylon to Jerusalem. And then in Ezra, the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity is detailed. In Nehemiah, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls under the direction of Nehemiah is recalled by this book. The project was begun about 14 years after Ezra's return with the people. In the book of Esther, God's deliverance of the Jews through Esther and Mordecai was the subject of this book. Then we get into the books of prophecy. So we have the book of Job, which is the story of Job, a man who lived around the time of Abraham. And this theme is the question of why the righteous men suffer. Then we have Psalms, which is the prayer and praise book of the Bible. Proverbs, divine wisdom for practical problems of everyday life. Ecclesiastes is a discussion of the futility of life apart from God. Song of Solomon is the romance of Solomon and his Shulamite bride. This story represents God's love for Israel and of Christ for the church. Then we have the books of prophecy. So several of these books were written during the period when the nation of Israel was divided into two separate kingdoms, which were Israel and Judah. So Isaiah warns of coming judgment against Judah because of their sin against God. Jeremiah is written during the latter decline in the fall of Judah, and it told of the coming judgment and urged surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. In Lamentations, Jeremiah's lament, or expression of sorrow over the destruction of Jerusalem to Babylon. In Ezekiel, it warns first of Jerusalem's impending fall and then foretells its future restoration. In Daniel, the prophet Daniel was captured during the early siege of Judah and was taken to Babylon. So this book provides historic and prophetic teaching, which is important in understanding Bible prophecy. Hosea, the theme of this book, is Israel's unfaithfulness, their punishment and restoration by God. And Joel tells the plagues which foreshadowed future judgment. Amos, during the period of material prosperity but moral decay, Amos warned Israel and surrounding nations of God's future judgment on their sin. In Obadiah, God's judgment against Edom, an evil nation located to the south of the Dead Sea. In the book of Jonah, the story of the prophet Jonah who preached repentance in Nineveh, the capital of the Syrian Empire. The book reveals God's love and plan of repentance for the Gentiles. In Micah, it's another prophecy against Israel's sin, and it foretells the birthplace of Jesus 700 years before the event happened. Nahum tells of the impending destruction of Nineveh, which has been spared some 150 years earlier through Jonah's preaching. In Habakkuk, it reveals God's plan to punish a sinful nation by an even more sinful one, and it teaches that the just shall live by faith. In Zephaniah, judgment and restoration of Judah. In Haggai, it urges the Jews to rebuild the temple after a 15-year delay due to enemy resistance. In Zechariah, we have further urging to complete the temple and renew spiritual commitment, and it foretells Christ's first and second comings. And then finally, we have Malachi, which warns against spiritual shallowness and foretells the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus. Next, we have the New Testament books, and there's 27 New Testament books. We start with the Gospels. The four books known as the Gospels record the birth, life, ministry, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the approach of each book differs. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' birth as king and was directed especially to the Jews. Mark, on the other hand, emphasizes Jesus Christ as the servant of God and was directed especially to the Romans. Luke presents Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, the perfect man and Savior of imperfect men. And John represents Jesus in his position as the Son of God. Then we have the books of history, or the book of history, which is the book of Acts. So the one history book of the New Testament records early growth of Christianity from the time of Christ's return to heaven from Paul's imprisonment to Rome. The book covers about 33 years and emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we have the letters. Romans is a presentation of the Gospels which stresses salvation by faith alone. 1 Corinthians is written to correct errors of Christian conduct in the local church. 2 Corinthians speaks of the true ministry of the gospel, stewardship, and Paul's apostolic authority. Galatians deals with the error of mixing law and faith. The theme is justification by faith alone. Ephesians encourages believers regarding their position in Christ. Philippians emphasizes the joy of Christian unity. Colossians deals with the error of Gnosticism, a false teaching which denied Jesus was truly the Son of God and Son of Man. The book also emphasizes Jesus as head of the church. In 1 Thessalonians, counsel in Christian living and emphasis on the return of Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians, we have further instruction on the Lord's return and how the knowledge of this should affect everyday life. In 1 Timothy, stresses sound doctrine, orderly church government, and principles to guide the church in the years to come. 2 Timothy describes the true servant of Jesus Christ. It also warns of the apostasy, or spiritual decline, which had already started. It presents the Word of God as a remedy to correct all error. Titus, which is Paul's letter to a young minister named Titus, who is serving God on the island of Crete, doctrine and godly life are stressed. In Philemon, Paul's intercession for a runaway slave of a wealthy Colossian Christian, it illustrates the intercession of Jesus on behalf of believers who were once slaves to sin. Hebrews explains the superiority of Christianity over Judaism and presents Jesus as the great high priest and mediator between God and man. James teaches that the true faith is evidenced by works, although salvation is by faith alone. 1 Peter is a letter of comfort and encouragement to believers, especially those suffering spiritual attacks from outside the church through unbelievers. In 2 Peter is a warning against spiritual attacks from within, for example, false teachers who had already crept into the church. In 1 John is written to combat Gnosticism, which denied Christ's position as the Son of God and man. This book emphasizes fellowship and love among believers and assures true believers of eternal life. 2 John warns against any compromise with doctrinal error and emphasizes the truth must be guarded in love. 3 John warns of the sin of refusing fellowship with those who are true believers. And Jude is another warning against apostasy and false doctrine. The theme is similar to that of 2 Peter. And then finally, we have the last book, which is the book of prophecy. Revelation, this prophetic book, tells the final events of world history. It tells the things which are and which will be in the future plan of God. And you can find that in Revelations 4:22. So in successful Bible reading, you're going to learn much in this course about how to understand and interpret the Bible. You'll also learn methods of creative Bible study. But the first step in understanding the Bible is to begin to actually read it. And to help you start reading God's Word, we have outlined several different reading plans, and these include a plan for those just starting their study, as well as a plan for those that are more advanced in the study of God's Word. So first, there are four suggestions for successful Bible reading. First is to read daily. Psalms 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So God made your physical body, so you must have food daily in order to remain healthy. In a similar manner, your spirit must be fed daily with the food of the Word of God if you are to be spiritually healthy. We find that in Luke 4:4. "For it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Next, we want to read selectively. So you want to start by reading the milk of the Word, and these are the simple truths of the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So later you're going to mature spiritually to where you can eat meat of the Word of God. This means that you'll be able to understand some more difficult teachings of the Bible. We find that in Hebrews 5:13-14. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And also 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." Next, we want to read prayerfully. We find that in Ezra 7:10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." So before you start to read, pray to God and ask him to help you understand the message he has given you through his written word, and let your prayer be as the psalmist David prayed in Psalms 119:18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Then finally, we want to read systematically. So some people do not understand God's word because they do not have a systematic plan for reading. They read a chapter here and there, and they fail to understand how it all fits together. This is like reading a few pages here and there in a textbook on medicine, then trying to set up a medical practice. It just doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us that we are to search the scriptures. We find that in John 5:39. This means to study them carefully. The Bible is like a textbook used in school. You must read it in an orderly way if you are to understand its content. So you're going to look in your book, and you're going to select one of the following reading schedules and begin reading your Bible daily. So the first one we have in your book is for beginners. So if you've never read the Bible before, you might want to start with the book of John in the New Testament. This book was written by one of the disciples of Jesus Christ named John, and he tells the story of Jesus in a real simple way, which is easy to understand. Read one chapter in John each day in the order which is found in the Bible, and then use the chart in your book to check off each chapter as you read it. Next, we have the short schedule, and you find that also in your book. The short schedule begins of a schedule of Bible reading and is designed to provide a basic knowledge of the Bible through selected portions of Scripture. So you read the selected portions in order in which they are listed and use the chart to check off each portion as you complete your reading. And then next we have the longer schedule. This reading plan covers the Bible in greater depth than the short schedule but does not cover the entire Bible. And then finally we have the complete schedule. The complete Bible reading schedule takes you through the entire Bible in 1 year. So go ahead and take a look at the different schedules in your book and make a decision which one you'd like to go with. Then do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.